Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
The title of the message today in our God First series is It's Time for an Upgrade. Say that with me, church. Say, it's time for an upgrade. God wants to upgrade you. There is like a 2.0 version of you. There's a 3.0 and a 4.0 and a 100.0 version of you that you are growing to become. And as we fast, as we prioritize God, we begin to become the better version. We begin to become the built version. We begin to become everything that He is calling us to be, and yet we never arrive. So there's this like holy frustration of, I know I need to be someplace, and I know I need to be somebody, and I know I need to be something a little bit different, but I'm not there yet. But we know that it's time for an upgrade. Say, it's time for an upgrade. Now, this upgrade, this isn't like the iPhone upgrade where it's like you put it on your old phone and then everything slows down. It doesn't work like that, thankfully. Thank goodness. It's like, I'm never updating my iOS again. But this upgrade is like a whole new version. It's like a transformed, reformed, restructured version that everything seems to flow a little bit better. Everything seems to work a little bit nicer. And God wants to help you today. And I pray, Jesus, I pray that you would use me today to help your people, Lord. I thank you that you care, that you know exactly what everyone needs. In your mighty name, amen. And so we're focusing on this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. If the book of Ephesians, man, oh man, you got to get that in you. Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's like a compact version of the message of the gospel. It explains probably most of what you need to know for outworking this Christian life and becoming like Jesus. And it helps you realize, I need to read the rest of it. Like, I need to read the rest of God's word, because Ephesians just isn't enough. But I would encourage you, if you haven't read it, then get into the book of Ephesians. Get it in you. It'll help you and it'll change you. The first three chapters are all about like the theory behind this message of the gospel. So like, what Jesus did and what does that mean for us? And what does it allow for our lives? And what has it changed? And what is it built in us? And it's this theoretical thing that, what does the gospel message mean? And the gospel is that Jesus Christ, God, became flesh, walked on planet Earth, and then He died for every one of us so that we could live a life that is set free, that is free from condemnation, that is free from sin because of everything that He did. So it's a message that we can't do anything to get there because He's done everything. But He equips us and releases us with tools and thoughts of how to walk this thing out to become better versions. And then so the last three chapters of Ephesians, which is what our passage today is focusing on, is how do I do it? Like, what's the practical application of this message? Like, Jesus did all this stuff and He wants me to become a better version of me. So how do I do it? And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and we'll get right into it. So it says, so I tell you this, I insisted on the Lord that you must. I feel like Paul is writing to this church in Ephesus, and there's an urgency behind his letter. He's like, I am insisting in this, God, or I'm insisting in this, guys, that you must. Like, this isn't an option for you. This is the next step for you. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as the non-Christians do, in the futility of their thinking. He's saying, you got to realize that there is like an emptiness to the thoughts that these guys think. There is no substance to the things that these people are thinking. You got to stop. And he's urging the believers in Ephesus. He says, they're darkened darkened in their understanding. Thank goodness that through prayer and fasting, we could get an enlightened understanding to what God's plan for us is. Amen? And Paul wants this for the church. He says, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. I don't want to live a life separated from the life of God. I want to be all in Jesus. I want to be all in the Holy Spirit. I want to be completely connected to what He's doing on the planet. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. I feel like today God wants, in Ezekiel, He says, I'm taking from you a heart of stone and I'm putting in you a heart of flesh. I feel like God wants to do that for some people today. He wants to change your heart from a hard heart to a soft heart, from a heart that's blocked off to what He wants, to a heart that's all in for what He'll have for your life. He wants to do that for you today. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not learn about Christ in that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught, everyone say taught, in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, there it is again, with regard to the former way of life. There was a former you. There is a previous you. This is exactly what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, that it is time for an upgrade, church. Like, there is a former you that needs to go. And he says to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new. Everyone say made new. In the attitudes of your minds, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Say, it's time for an upgrade. Come on. God wants to build something in you. He wants to grow something in you. And I feel like He's calling out the 2.0 version of you. There is an upgrade in store for you, and it is happening through prayer and fasting. We need to be changed by the gospel of God, but how do we change? Paul says it right here, that we have to put off the old self and take on a new self. So there is a process of transformation that needs to happen. There is a process of shifting and some attitudes that need to change and some habits that need to adjust in order for us to become the new version of us. And the cool thing about it is our old self and our new self are completely different. There is no resemblance between the old self and the new self. So when you get saved and when you meet Jesus, unfortunately, people, like, maybe you're years down the track and people that used to know you are like, you're different. Something's different about you. That's okay, because there is a new self that you've begun to put on. So don't be surprised that people might think something's different about you. That's okay. God's building in something in you, and there's a 2.0 version in you that He is calling out. We want to put off the old self and bring on the new self. The new self is one who's righteous, full of love. The new self is one who's not bound, but he's set free. God says, who the Son says free, he's free indeed. It's one who abides in the truth, who lives healed, who's forgiven and forgiving. We are mature people as our new self. God wants to build up mature believers in us. We're confident in who we are. Did you know that God made a confident version of you that lacks all timidity, that lacks all fear and frustration? Like, God has a bold and courageous version of you on the other side of something. The new self is generous, encouraging, faithful, full of faith. The new self is alive and active. God has an alive, active version of you in store. Did you know that? The new self lives out of oppression. It carries peace in all situations. Philippians 4 says, let your peace, which transcends all understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. There is a peaceful version of you that is in store. Say, it's time for an upgrade. So we need to change. There is an absolute essential part of us that needs to shift. And we need to understand, and we need to begin to grasp, how do I do it? Because otherwise we'll live in this constant place of frustration, this constant place of uncertainty, because we know that there's a gap between the new me and the old me, and we don't know how to get there. So hopefully I'm going to teach you something today that will help you become the new version. But here's the most important thing to realize, probably the most encouraging and discouraging thing all at the same time. The message of Christianity, of the gospel, is that we never get there. So I too am in the same boat as you. I am on a process of growing and changing. I'm on a process of being upgraded and transformed into the new me, because I know that the old me has to change and that the new me needs to be built up and become alive so that I can be like God in righteousness and holiness. Amen? So how do we do it? Let's check it out. Step one is we need to let the old die, okay? Let the old, if you're taking notes and you want to go to heaven, then you write that down, okay? We need to let the old die. I feel like at the pearly gates, they're going to check your notebook and make, oh, how many times you go to church? Yeah, how many times you take notes? Ooh, sorry, guys. that's not serious at all. Oh, look at that. My wife's taking care of me. Thank you so much, babe. Isn't Vanessa just wonderful? Love you. We need to let the old die. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you. Again, there's an urgency to this. There's a pressing need for this. He says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is the important part. Just kidding, it's all important. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but instead be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Check this out. And then, after you're transformed, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Did you know that God has a good and pleasing and perfect will for you? But there is a process to get there, and that process involves change. That process involves letting go of things. That process involves dying a little bit. We need to let the old die. So, and what you got to realize is the word transform in that passage, be transformed through the renewing of your mind, it actually means like a metamorphosis that happens. So, like a complete and utter change that means that the old thing looks nothing like the new thing. So consider, if you consider a caterpillar to a cocoon and then a cocoon to a butterfly, that's the process of metamorphosis. And if you look at a cocoon, you're like, this thing looks nothing like a caterpillar. And then you look at a butterfly, you're like, this thing looks nothing like the cocoon or the butterfly. Like, what the heck is this thing? But it's because the old is going away and shedding away a piece of something to become something completely new. And that's the process of life in God, is there is a metamorphosis that's happening in your spirit. There is a metamorphosis that's happening in your body, that God is changing you and He's building you into the 2.0, 3.0 version of you that He wants to see. Like you look at a seed, like a pumpkin seed, and it's this weird little flat circle. I wish I had one with me. But and they taste delicious if you roast them in the oven for a few hours on 375, put some seasoning salt. They're wonderful. But a pumpkin seed and a pumpkin look nothing like one another. But what happens is you put that seed in the earth, you bury it, you cover it with soil, and you put water on it, and the seed dies. It within the earth, the seed dies and becomes something new. So there is a process of dying to something that was before and coming alive to something that's new. And this is the exact process that Jesus followed on the cross. Like when He walked planet Earth, He was fully man. Yes, He was fully God as well. He was walking out in miracles. But when He went to the cross and He breathed His last breath and He said the words, "It is finished," He got put in a tomb for 3 days. And then He rose again. And the new version of Jesus, there was a glorified version that could only be accessed, that could only happen through the process of dying. Isn't that encouraging? I need to die. Oh, man. Every day. Not actually, but practically, it's a thing. All right, cool. Never stop, though, okay? Like I said at the start, this is a constant journey, a constant process of growth, a constant process of building that God is doing in you. So we never arrive. The Bible in the book of Romans says that all fall short of the glory of God, that we've all sinned. So there is no arrival point that you can say, sweet, I've made it. Like, this Christian life, I'm there. I can just coast comfortably through the rest of my life because I've got all the knowledge that I need and I've got all the truth that I need and I can just walk this thing out. Because what will happen is God will shake something up in your life. Like maybe a relationship will change that you didn't expect, or like a job will shift that you didn't expect to happen. And you're like, what the heck is happening? It's because he's trying to upgrade you. Say, it's time for an upgrade. Jesus said in Matthew, he said in the Lord's Prayer, he said, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the perfect version of you is in heaven. The glorified, no more upgrades needed version of you exists in heaven. And it's up to us to call down to earth the things of heaven. That's the process of growth and the process of change, is that we would become the heavenly version. We would become the 2.0 version on a day-to-day changing process where we're dying to the old self and becoming the new self. And the great thing about the new self is the shame of the old, it's gone totally. The frustrations of the old self, they're gone in the name of Jesus. The fear that we face on a daily basis of the old self is gone when we get to become the new self. There's an anxiety that's associated with the old self, but when we die to ourselves and we take on the Spirit of God, we realize that all anxiety has to flee and depart, because in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace lives in our heart. Amen. It's exciting, it's awesome, and we love it. And there's a process to it. But we need to know, like I said, we need to understand, how do we do it? And I feel like I got a sense, and this is point number two, that we learn what to throw off and what to put on in the context of church. So what Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, he was frustrated, and that's why there was an urgency to his writing, because he's like, why are you not doing everything that I've taught you to do? You did not learn about Christ in that way. Like, you've abandoned the way of thinking that I've been trying to teach you, and you've taken on a worldly way of thinking that I want you to let go of. And so he's encouraging and empowering the Ephesian church to rise up and become the new version again. For me, I feel like this taking, because there's a process of taking on the teaching, and there's a process of applying it to our lives that we need to follow in order to become the upgraded version. And for me, what happened is I actually, the very first time I met Jesus, I don't think I was fully saved. Like, I didn't quite give my heart to him. So about 14 years ago, I went to this camp, this summer camp, Christian camp. It's called Young Life. It was in Alberta, and I went to this camp. And they, like, sing old pop songs and have a blast. They play fun little games together. And then they talk about Jesus for a bit. And I'd grown up around church. Like, I'd always gone to Catholic church as a kid, and I believed that God existed. And I was like, yeah, God's awesome, but I got Greg's life, and Greg's life matters a lot. And yet I was frustrated because, like, I was this super awkward teenager who was in grade 11, going into grade 12. I'd never had a girlfriend in my life, and I was like super just not having vision for my life, super awkward. I'm an awkward adult too, so it's all right. It's just who God made me to be. That's okay. But what happened is at this camp, I experienced a moment with God, and I experienced transformation through the Holy Spirit a little bit, but then I went back to life. I went back to Greg being Greg, and like, I would attend church every now and again, like go with my brother who had brought me to this Young Life camp, and I would hear about all this great stuff that the Christian life has for me, and I'm like, nothing seems to be happening here. Like, I still have no vision. I'm still frustrated. I'm still lonely. But it's because I was the same Greg. I had drug problems. I had no direction for the future because I wasn't applying the fact that God actually wanted to change me. And that forced me to die to some things and to let go of some things that I needed to let go of. So what happened is a few years later, I ended up meeting this wonderful, beautiful girl at the front row, Vanessa Fry. Well, I had actually met her previously in elementary. It's a beautiful God story that we can tell you about later. But I re-met Vanessa through a mutual friend that I actually had met at this camp, crazy enough. Isn't that funny? And then I started attending church. And this time it was a little different. Like, this time I met Jesus, it was slightly, there was something different about it. And I realized that something needs to change and shift in me, that I need to become, there's a better version of me somewhere in store. So I needed to change something. So what did I do? I joined a Connect group. Hello. Did you know that Connect group applications are happening right now? That you can sign up to lead a Connect group. So I joined a Connect group, and through that I was taught some things. And not only was I taught some things, but I learned some things and I applied them to my life, and I started to become a new version of me, praise Jesus. And I know that I'm still on the process of change. I'm not there yet. But it's incredible. I started to exercise generosity, started to walk out in the tithe. But it's through applying the things of God, applying the teachings that I had heard, getting into community, being generous with everything I had, that I began to realize that there is a better version of me in store. Say, it's time for an upgrade. Oftentimes when something's not working in someone's life, we have this like over Christianese thing that's like, oh, the truth will set you free. Don't worry, like, that's in the Bible somewhere. And they're like, cool, what does that mean? Like, how does the truth set me free? So if I know enough Bible, like if I read enough scripture, then I'm going to be set free. Like, I've memorized and I can exegete the book of Exodus, and I don't feel very free. But if you look into John 8, it actually says, abide in the word, live in the word, and it shall make you free. So God doesn't just want us to know it. He doesn't want us to just have a sense of knowledge of His Word, but He wants us to become it. He wants us to live it out and walk it out and apply it to our life. In James, it talks about look into the mirror of the Word that sets you free, and this is a key word, and do what it says. So don't just look into this thing that sets you free and go, sweet, I'm free, because you're not there yet. There is a process of change that needs to happen when you do what it says. So we need to apply what God's saying in His Word and become the better version of us. God's calling us not just to come to the altar on a regular basis, not just to come forward, but actually to build our life into an altar, as Romans says. Become living sacrifices. Offer yourselves before God and watch Him change your world. And then we become set free. So it's like if you set up a budget and you don't follow that budget, you won't find any freedom financially. Like it's great to just, oh, I got this awesome budget and I've got my income set and my expenses set and I'm ready to take on the world. I'm going to be saving this much a month. And then like 6 months later, you haven't saved anything. But it's because you're not following the budget. Like you've allocated expenses and then you're just spending money wherever you want. And I feel like we read God's word and it's like, sweet, I know how I can become free. But then we don't actually do what it says and we wonder why we're not free. We get frustrated when we believe what's in here, but then we don't do what it says. So when we have faith in God's word, but we're practicing ways of the world, it just leads to a whole bunch of frustrated Christians. Like, there's this gap that's like, why am I not experiencing the life that I know that God's promised for me? And it's because we're not walking out the life that He's called us to live. Say, it's time for an upgrade.